You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
BKB presents virtual salon conversations of everyday living, of overcoming life's obstacles, and finding your purpose. It's Our Time podcast celebrates the season of opportunity for women becoming empowered to be major influencers, decision makers, and living happy in our life purpose. Hi, virtual listeners. I'm Belinda K. Baker, lovingly referred to as Miss B. And it's my pleasure to be your host of It's Our Time, Conversations from the Salon to the Podcast. As a master stylist with over 32 years in the beauty industry, a salon owner, business consultant, and coach, educating, teaching, and motivating all over the world, I know I'm truly blessed and so grateful to be living out my purpose. Sharing gives me life. Connecting people and businesses and finding solutions to problems fulfills my passion and my purpose. And God knew that, and He put me in the path of my salon environment to experience it. It's the perfect vehicle to share. The energy, the women, and even the occasional dad dropping off his baby girl or picking up his wife find themselves attracted to the conversations. Going to the hair salon is a common experience that most women share. It provides an environment for a variety of cultural conversations with the most in-the-know women at the top of a wide range of fields. Women share. We share our issues that we care about. We share our problems. We foster opportunities to build strong support systems with each other. As part of the salon experience, clients share personal stories with their stylists and in conversations that are commonly joined in by others in what I lovingly call group therapy sessions. The power of conversation stimulates opportunities for women to connect through our issues, bond in our friendships, and build strong alliances and grow together. This podcast would not be made possible if it were not for the support from our sponsors. A special thank you to Atlanta Life Media Agency for sponsoring this episode. Atlanta Life Media Agency is a premier Georgia television, film, and entertainment behind-the-camera production support consultant agency. Check them out at www.atlma.net. The Atlanta's Life Media Agency, where connections are made. If you would like to join our conversation as a sponsor, please email us at info@up2meradio.com.
Today's story is on raising godly, respectful children in today's society. So this episode we devote to our children. Our children are on loan to us for just a short time. We are parents only for a moment. In changing their lives. Our assignment is to protect them, to teach them, to guide them in discovering their God-given talents and gifts. So on today's episode, we're focusing on using God's wisdom to raise well-balanced, God-centered children. It isn't easy, and it's not getting any easier. So today, we are sharing this diversity through the different phases of the mothering spectrum with our panel of mothers who are going to share their thoughts, their insight, and their wisdom with us in conversation about raising godly, respectful children. So virtual salon listeners, can you help me welcome our special guest today with a virtual applause? Our first guest, Ms. Eunice Carter, is a retiree from Wells Fargo Bank, where she worked for 38 years in various positions. She now, in her retirement, is very active. She's the captain of her bowling league. She's captain of her senior day women, LTA team. She plays mixed double tennises. And she is married to Mr. Eugene, and they have two children and two grandchildren, married for 48 years. Active in her church, I would like for us to welcome Eunice Carter. Eunice, how are you today?
Great, and thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so glad to have you today and looking forward to our conversation. Our next guest is Etosha Thurman. Etosha is head of the Cloud Customer Engagement Strategy at SAP. And this is a multinational enterprise application software company. Etosha has led the largest customer engagement team with SAP, where she influences relationships with over hundreds of customers in the U.S. South and those in the retail industry throughout the U.S. Etosha is involved in SaaS companies since 2002, and she has a passion in leveraging the cloud to deliver exceptional business results. She is married to her husband, Alfonso, for 18 years and is a proud mother of Trinity, 11, and Trip, who is 9. Etosha, welcome to our conversation. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm great, Belinda. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to the discussion.
Awesome. And our next guest is Dr. Yancey Baker. And Yancey is a proud mother, wife, and a professional. She graduated from Dillard University with a Bachelor of Science in Biology and matriculated to Emory University Graduate School, where she finished with a Master's of Science in Clinical Research and a PhD in Pharmacology. She currently is a medical science liaison in women's healthcare at Bayer USA, where she provides clinical scientific support to healthcare professionals in Georgia, Florida, and South Carolina. Yancey also is a volunteer, 18-year member of Alpha Kappa Alpha. And most importantly, she likes spending time with her husband, Ben, their 14-month-old daughter, Olivia, and her family and friends. Welcome, Yancey.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Belinda, for including me.
You are welcome. So glad to have you. And finally, we have Ms. Kamala Brown-Washington, a marketing and public relations executive turned entrepreneur. With 23 years working in corporate sector, she found that her passion for fashion, career development, and coaching was something she wanted to transition into from the corporate sector. And so she used her degree in wardrobe and fashion stylist to begin working with men and women, inspiring and motivating them to see the value of enhancing their professional image and personal brand as a means of attracting a successful lifestyle. She helps her clients identify their strengths and unique style, and then coaches them to make positive career changes. Kamala also founded KPD, Chameleon Professional Development, where she spends a significant amount of time teaching job readiness courses to disadvantaged women from the Department of Family and Children's Services. So we'd like to welcome Kamala Brown-Washington to the conversation. Hi, Cam.
Hello, my dear. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity.
Awesome. It is so good to have each of you with us this morning. Ladies, I thank you so much for coming and sharing and continuing our salon conversation over the radio airwaves. It's a pleasure to have you today on It's Our Time. So our discussion, we were talking about the challenges of raising a healthy, well-balanced, godly, respectful child in society today. And we're going to start, Eunice. I'm going to start with you, Eunice, if we can. And I wanted to start there because you, in our conversation, you said something very important that resonated with me where I am in the mothering spectrum with adult children, that you have two children. Am I correct, Eunice?
Correct. That's right.
Okay. And so you were sharing that, you know, raising them, there was some different things you deposited in them as children and then as young adults, teenagers, and now in that adult spectrum, that you have a way of using affirmations to keep your connection strong with your adult children. Can you share with us?
I do. And I think there are a couple of things that I do to kind of strengthen my relationship with them. One of the things that I do from time to time, and sometimes you can just feel when they need this, I'll just pick up my phone and send a text. Let's just say I'm sending it to my daughter. I'll say something like, "Have I told you lately how much I love you and that I am just so proud of you?" And that would just really get her going. She'll send back a note saying, "I'm so proud you're my mother," and just go on and on and on. But when I send her the text, I don't call her by her name. I'll say, "Hello, pretty lady." You know, I'll start like that.
Oh, yes.
I'll say, "Hello, handsome. Are you okay out there on that road? I want you back home safely." And then I'll get something from him. He doesn't call me mom or anything when he sends a text. He'll say, "Well, young lady," you know, and he'll go on from there. But it seems to make them feel really, really good. And one thing that I do for my daughter is when I introduce her sometimes, I'll say, "I just want to introduce you to the best teacher this side of heaven." And it just does so much for her. You know, she'll go and tell people, "Mom is my loudest cheerleader." And it just boosts her because sometimes kinds of things, it seems to be like right when they need it, you know. So, and then also, to me, you got to know when to say something and when to be quiet because you got to give them a safe place. Like if they want to just talk, sometimes you don't even need to say anything. Sometimes if they want to just talk, you just listen. And then you just remind them of who they are and whose they are. And then that way you strengthen them to know that I can get through this. I can go on. And then if I need to come and talk to mom or to dad or whomever, I know I've got a safe place to where when I lay out my thoughts, I'm not called stupid or whatever. I know that I'm going to be respected when I lay out all of my thoughts, all of my secrets, and I don't have to worry about them being shared with anybody else. I know that they're in a safe place, you know?
That is so good. That is so good. I like that you're engaging them as adults, not as your child, but yet you have that nurturing aspect to it. I heard some of the other ladies on kind of agreeing along with me as I was going, "Wow, I got to use that.
I got to use that.
Right? The power of affirmations, the power of speaking into their lives. It's like you're using a way to, as your daughter said, be the cheerleader they need. I love that.
And Belinda, I think that is true at any age for your children, you know, and especially you know, I was going to say especially for girls, but I'll take that back. I think it's for both. I know my daughter just started middle school this year, And for the, really, we started in fifth grade, really trying to speak affirmation in her life and confidence and encouragement, you know, to counter this doubt that comes with just change when, you know, in those middle years, those pre-adolescent,
right.
early adolescent years. And I think it's wonderful. It's a great reminder that that's, you know, should happen from now until forever.
Exactly.
As a mom, you know, as a dad, to speak life and encouragement into your children.
That's a good point. That's a good point. If they don't, and you guys give me your feedback, because we should, as their parents, be their biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
Right.
We should be the ones that, like you said, Eunice, it's a safe haven. It's a place to come and rest. Because the world out there right now that they're subjected to, I've never seen where children, small children, are subjected to the bullying and the comparison to others that they now get from early on.
That is true.
You know, it's really interesting that you say that, and I totally agree. Now, I'm already, you know, about to text Eli something positive, you know, while he's in school. My son's in sixth grade, and I totally agree in terms of their self-esteem and their confidence at such a young age, and that's where it actually starts. But even in my profession and working with adults and giving them the confidence to go out into the job market and to accomplish some of their career goals, I'm realizing, you know, it's a challenge doing this as an adult, because it actually starts as a child. And so I just think it's awesome that we're incorporating these you know, just features and different opportunities to build our children up, so by the time they become adults, we're not dealing with a bunch of insecure, you know, adults trying to rule the world.
And, you know,
that's,
another thing that I find, too, is that when my children are getting these things from me, they're giving this information to others. And my son, I guess he thinks that I should be mother to a whole bunch of kids. What he'll do is he'll, Mom, you know that such and such and such needs such and such and such. And I'll say, well, what about their parents? Then he'll say, do you mean to tell me that you let a person go out there and be all out in the world and not know about this, that, or the other? So then that means that not only do I have my children, I've got a whole bunch of other children that call me mom because I'm speaking to them too.
Right.
It's not just your children that you're speaking into. When others see that your children are getting that, they want that upbuilding, that uplifting, that encouragement too. So therefore, you've got a host of other children that basically call you mom or momsy or whatever, you know, they call. So it's like a community that you're helping to maybe not raise, but to encourage them to go forth, to know that they're, whatever you want to do, you can do it, and I'm going to encourage you and help you in whatever way that I can.
Right.
And for me, my daughter's very young. She's 14 months old. So I just remember my parents telling me, we'll always believe in you. We're always behind you. But if you don't believe in yourself, then no one else is going to believe in you. So I've even started now. Just telling her how smart she is, how she can do anything that she wants to do. Mommy and daddy are always going to support her, just so she can start hearing that and internalizing that, even now as a 14-month-old. So it's very, very important.
It is.
It is, because the world's going to beat them up emotionally, and they have to have that foundation and that confidence in themselves and understanding. No, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but I know what I know.
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And that leads me to the balancing act that parents, mothers, find themselves having to work through. And I know both Dr. Yancey and Natasha, you travel for work, and sometimes you work from home. And, Kamala, I know you work from home, as well as the entrepreneur. So in finding the work-life balance with the mothering aspects of being there for our children and knowing what's happening in their life, Itasha, can you share some of the tips that you use to keep that connection there?
Sure. I'll tell you, I'm a work in progress. And it varies day to day. But I think there's a few things that, I stay focused on. One is, a friend of mine told me a long time ago that I have more money than time. Any way I look at it, I have more money than time. So outsource what's not important to me. So, I outsource help with the house. I outsource help with the laundry. So because I do travel a lot, when I'm home, I'm fully engaged and I'm home. And I'm not feeling the guilt over the aspects of managing my house. It's not as important as spending time with my children. I think the other thing that I try to do is not be so hard on myself. That's something that I've learned. The guilt that moms place on themselves, I'll speak specifically, personally, the guilt I place on myself because I can't be there. I'm not the same mom that my mother was. It becomes counterproductive. And, I had this conversation with my mother, and she told me, I told her, I would just, if I could be half the mother that you were, I think I'd accomplish something. And she said to me, but sweetheart, I didn't have half the challenges you have. I didn't have half the work life you had. We didn't have cell phones that we were on call all day expected to respond like you do. Right. So I think the best way for me is I'm very organized in how I approach life, and I'm very forgiving when I can't be exactly what I want to be. I'm trying to be. And I instead, I spend the time when I'm with my children all in as a mom, and that doesn't mean only fun times. It means homework. It means staying abreast of what's happening in their life. But it does mean taking away the non-value add work that comes with being a wife and mom too, and trying to find other ways to get that accomplished so that I can be present, so that I can be thoughtful of asking about, well, how did lunch go with, so-and-so in your class who you've been having an on-again, off-again relationship. And quite frankly, to also be able to be present for my husband and supporting him, as well, because it becomes – It's what he has to pick up a lot when I'm on the road. And so I want to be just as present for him and the children when I'm back and contribute to that harmony and that family structure and bonding when I'm not away.
That's good. That's good. And it brought me to this point. I know that you had shared some tips with Yancey, and Yancey had shared with you, which is what I love about what happens in a salon environment, is that there's an openness of conversation that happens, because Yancey, you were sharing with Itasha your feeling that guilt that she just spoke about.
Yes.
And learning to let that go. Kind of give a little background to the feeling that you were, feeling and going through, and what you did with that information Itasha shared.
So that particular day that I came into the salon, I've been traveling nonstop. Unlike Itasha, I have not really manage my work-life balance as well, because I've done my job as a single person. I did my job as a married person. My husband is self-sufficient, so I would just make sure that he was okay before I left and I would go. But it's been very, very difficult for me to navigate efficient way to do my job well, be a good mom, and be a good wife. So the particular day that I came into the salon, I had been traveling. I've been up since 5 o'clock in the morning. I drove back from South Carolina, and I was just all over the place. I felt so guilty. I missed some things at my daughter's school. I get home late, so I didn't get to video chat with her, and I just felt, and I'm getting emotional now because thinking about it.
Yeah, it's okay, Yancey. It's overwhelming.
it is. Okay. It's very overwhelming. And I just didn't feel like I was a good mom. I didn't feel like I was a good wife. And just talking to Etasha that day and taking into account some of the things that she has been through, it has helped me. So I'm trying to put things in buckets, things that are not as important, as she said. I do have a cleaning service now for my house. I am asking people to help me because I thought I could just do everything because that's what I was used to doing.
Yeah.
So I am learning how to give the control to other people to help me so that I can be healthy and present for my family.
Yes.
But you know what, Yancy, one thing I'll remind you, too, one thing I'll remind you is my friend, a girlfriend of mine named Wendy Cole, she told me this, and it frees me every time I get into this place where I feel like I'm out of whack, is that your daughter knows you, too. And the older she gets, the more she's going to know and understand. And it's not going to be this shock that you have to work the way you work or you have to travel the way you travel. She knows that you're coming back. She knows that this is who you are, and she loves you for who you are. You know, this is why we carry so much guilt. And I remember telling my daughter, Trinity, I'm so sorry mommy didn't make it for, you know, whatever. She said, Mom, it's okay. I know you had to work, and you have a good job, and you work hard, and I'm proud of you. I couldn't believe the child said this. And it just, you know, and this just happened this year, you know, and it made me think about what Wendy said, is that she knows me too. And she knows that I love her.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. And that's, I love what you're saying, Natasha, because you're communicating with your daughter. Your daughter is watching you. And so she understands that aspect of you sharing with her. So she's not out not knowing what's happening. Mom, she doesn't think you're going to a party. She doesn't think you're just not there. She understands that it's for the family, you know, as well. And Yancy, God has you. He has you. You are doing a phenomenal job. And I just want to speak into your life that you're doing a great job. You are a great mom. You are a wonderful wife. You are an awesome person. And so I don't want you to ever think that, you know, because I felt your heart that day when you came in, and it was so much weight. And that's what I love about the revival that happens when we come together as women and we're transparent and we talk to each other and we share with each other. Also so much for that just glimpse into the salon relationship that happened with that. And Kamala, I know we have a long history, and I've watched you also juggle family, work, entrepreneurship, startup business, and try to manage all of those pieces. And there was one that you touched my heart with so much, was that whole blended family. Mm-hmm. When you married and your husband already had a child.
Yeah.
And now you found yourself, I don't like this word stepmom. So does anyone have a better, I don't know, stepmom? You know,
mom number two? Mom number two?
Mom number two? Mom.
Yeah. Just
mom. What were some of the challenges that you may have faced in being a God-fearing child, a respectful child, when you had so many other influences?
You know, the biggest hurdle for me in that scenario was to establish my own place in his life, and I never wanted him to feel that he had to choose between his biological mom and me, and I never wanted him to feel that I'm trying to take her place. So it was important that when we spent our time together, I had to kind of create my own position, you know, with him. And I told him, no, you can call me Mom. You can call me Cammy. I really left it up to him to determine what to call me and the role. Mm-hmm. And it just evolved. I took it one encounter at a time, and it started from, you know, when Eric and I were, you know, dating. So he got to know me. Obviously, in my time we got married, I wasn't a stranger, you know, to him. And he knew that it was a safe place. And because he has two other siblings by different fathers, when he would stay with us on weekends, it was important for him to have his own level of responsibility. So he knew that this was a different family unit. And he plays and contributes to the family. So we just made sure that he had a role to play, and I had a role mm-hmm. to play. We all, you know, we're all the different pieces of this puzzle, but we're stronger as a whole as opposed to being apart. So it was, you know, just as I said, you know, work in progress. And even now mm-hmm. as an adult, it's still work in progress. So it's just being respectful of everybody's position.
Right. Yeah. That's good. Children respond differently to dad's voice than mom's voice.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know.
Oh, yeah.
Good at that, if you would. Let me start with Yancey. I know that we've had a conversation, and it kind of was in regards to Ben's influence versus your influence, and we gathered it really was the voice. So
yes.
Talk to us about that.
So Olivia, I think that because my husband is very nurturing, but at the same time, because of his voice, she takes him more seriously. So I can tell her to stop standing in her chair or, you know, just stop throwing things, and she laughed. Her little laugh is, ha, ha, like, Mom, I don't take you seriously. And then my husband comes behind me, and he's like, Olivia, stop it. And she just stops. And so I was telling Belinda that it bothers me because it makes me feel like she doesn't take me seriously. But I really think that it's just I have a very soft voice. I think I'm very gentle with her. And so she just doesn't take me seriously. So I'm trying to think of ways to make her take me seriously. I don't think she does it, you know, intentionally, but she just knows, oh, Mommy, you know, you're not going to, your voice is so soft and we're just playing and it's okay. I don't have to do what you say. But with my husband, it's totally different. So if you all could provide any type of advice or tips and tricks, that would be awesome.
Itasha, do you have any tricks?
My husband is a very soft-spoken person.
Right.
But what he would do, he would come in, and if something was going on that shouldn't have been, he might have said, son, did your mother say such and such and such? And then they would get in line. Or I would come in and I would give their entire name, first, middle, and last, and turn around and look and say, what did I say? And if I knew the entire name, they knew.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Mama means business, so I better get in line. So, and it worked.
That's good. That's good.
And my husband does do that. He does say, Olivia, what does your mommy say? Do what mommy says. So he does try to reinforce it, but she still, when it's just me, she just laughs. It's just funny to her. I don't
You
know.
Laugh?
Huh? No, I don't laugh.
Okay.
I don't laugh. I tell her that it's not funny. I say, Olivia, this is not funny. Mommy is serious.
I think you're going to have to introduce a consequence. Right, and an age appropriate consequence, so that she knows that it's not a game, you know. Mm-hmm. So for me, I've always been the more disciplinarian in our household, right? I still am, you know. Now, daddy means business. If I defer to daddy, you know, there's absolute fear going on because I'm the normal day-to-day disciplinarian, right? So I save him for special occasions when I'm exhausted by my boy. So, but for your daughter, you know, I was telling you at 14 months, you know, her behavior isn't malicious. You know, she's not old enough to be malicious in her intent or purposefully disrespectful. She just, there's not a consequence for her to associate with your voice yet, with that tone. And I think I like what the other mom just said about maybe saying her whole name so she can say, okay, this is different than any other time mommy calls me, and having a consequence follow that. And then, you know, it'll start to register for her, wait a minute, this is mommy's serious voice, not play voice. Because, you know, one thing my mom told me, because I'm so, you know, that guilt thing and the stressed out thing has always been sort of me since motherhood. And sometimes in that light, I don't pay attention to the little things. And she told me, you know, the first time a child encounters an experience, they're learning. They don't know what you expect of them. You have to teach them what you expect of them. You can't expect them to come out. Just like there's no manual to be a mom, there's no manual to be a kid either. Exactly. So so I think if there's a consequence, then she's learning. You're starting to write the manual for what you want her to do. And maybe that consequence is she has to, you know, sit down on the floor crisscross style for, you know, if she's 14 months, no more than a minute, you know, or maybe it is if she's, whatever she's doing, you redirect her energy somewhere else and she realizes, okay, this is a consequence for me not doing what mommy asked me to do. It'll get better as she gets older.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I was going to chime in and share also if you can talk to your husband, and in those instances, if your daughter defers to him, if he can circle back to you. So if you ask her to do something, and then he can say, did you hear what your mother just asked you to do? You know, so she understands that when mommy speaks, I have to equally take her as seriously as I do when daddy speaks. So he's like your enforcer. Does that make sense?
Okay, awesome. Thank you. It does make makes total sense.
Yeah.
That is so awesome. That is so awesome. Guys, this is just, it's getting so good, and I don't want to have to end. However, we are coming in our wrap-up. I would like for each of you, if you would, to just leave one thought with our virtual audience that you would just like to just pour into them. Eunice, if you are still on, could you leave a thought for our virtual listeners?
I certainly will. First of all, I'd like to say my kids are older kids, and for older kids, I say just make sure there's a safe place, and sometimes we don't always have to talk. Sometimes just listen and just be there available for them sometimes.
Awesome. Itasha, your final thoughts?
I think my final thought is be kind to yourself. You know, you're learning parenthood as you go. We didn't come equipped knowing what to do or how to be the best parent. You know, lead with love, pray for wisdom, and nothing is permanent. You can always check and adjust, right? If it's not working, try again. Try something different and new, leading with love and praying for wisdom.
I think my final thought would be to take some time for yourself. I think that you can't be a great mom and a great wife and a great anything if you're not happy and healthy and at peace. So I think it's very important because as women, we are wired to take care of everyone else and we put ourselves last. So I think it's very important in order for us to be efficient and effective parents and wives that we have to take care of ourselves also.
Right. And Kamala, final thoughts.
Yeah, my final thought is to allow our children to have a voice. I know many times as, you know, we're raising our children and we want them to be a certain way, act a certain way, but, you know, every generation grows up much faster than the previous, and it's good just to let them speak and just let them share what their issues and their concerns are that best suits their tone and their voice. Sometimes they can't get it all out, in the way that we might want them to communicate, but just allow them to have a voice and truly hear what they're having to say, because this generation, they're going through some issues that children and some humans should not even have to experience in life. So that's what I want to share.
That's awesome. Thank you. This has been absolutely wonderful. We're connecting, we're building, we're bonding, and we're growing together. So virtual salon listeners, the bios for each of our guests, Ms. Eunice, Yancy, Tasha, and Kamala, will be on the website. Want to connect with them, you can, and just further the conversation. Ladies, thank you so, so, so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next segment, Let's Celebrate You, is designed to spotlight a listener or follower of It's Our Time podcast who we received a testimony on how they have overcome obstacles, dealt with issues, or took a different action that led to a breakthrough personally or professionally in their life. Or it can simply be a shared moment of gratitude for where God has them in this season of their life. This week, we are honored to celebrate Kamala Brown Washington, founder of Chameleon Professional Development Group, KPD, Inc., who will share with us today on our podcast her ability to remain strong and vigilant to her vision of connecting with her clients, pouring her heart and soul into her company, and never giving up when the obstacles of running a nonprofit seemed overwhelming and many times lonely. We celebrate you. There have been hundreds and thousands of men, women, and children who have benefited from your nonprofit in terms of your program. And today we want you to receive your accolades for not giving up, for persevering, and remaining faithful to the vision God gave you. You not only share your talents and gifts, but you foster an environment that enhances others in using their gifts and talents, sometimes changing their lives forever. We salute you, Kamala Brown Washington, founder of KPD, Inc. You can connect with KPD on all social media sites at TheKPD or www.kpdinc.org. The Let's Celebrate You segment is being sponsored by Salon BKB, which has two locations in Decatur and Alpharetta. You can connect with them at www.salonbkb.com. on all social media sites at SalonBKB, or call 770-557-1154. SalonBKB is happy to donate 5 full image makeovers to our Let's Celebrate You recipients, Kamala Brown Washington and KPD, Inc. Congratulations. Again, we want to thank our show sponsors, Atlanta Life Media Agency, and all our guests today, Eunice Carter, Itasha Thurman, Dr. Yancy Baker, and Kamala Brown Washington, for sharing your wisdom and insights on today's podcast, Raising Godly, Respectful Children in Today's Society. Listeners, we want to hear from you, so please send any questions to It's Our Time at up2meradio.com. Share your concerns, your triumphs, and celebrations with us. Also, feel free to sign up for email notices, for show alerts of new podcasts, and to get all the juicy behind-the-scenes post notes and additional resource information. Our podcast can be heard on up2meradio.com or on Facebook at It's Our Time, Up to Me Radio. We're also on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Virtual listeners, it's been real having you join us in the power of conversation, from the salon to the podcast. Thank you for joining us on It's Our Time, where we connect through our issues, bond in our friendships, build strong alliances while we all grow together. Listen, follow, and share. It's Our Time podcast on UpToMeRadio.com with family, friends, and your acquaintances. So until next time, remember, everybody has a story to tell. What's your story?